lights out, we're underway. Smoke Sport Republic, a podcast.
Jew boy, what a weekend, eh?
What a weekend. We are here. We are in our hotel looking out over our lovely view of Skyview Buriram.
Yes, it's a beautiful sunny morning here in Buriram. There's still a little bit of a hype about the place, but a lot of Euros and stuff left out last night. There's a lot of travel plans and disarray, obviously, getting home to Europe because with all the Middle Eastern airports shut. So it was all the rage last night, but it seems like everyone's sort of, well, we think everyone's leaving, so.
Yeah, still, or not this time last year, I think they're still, all teams were just about gone, but I think some people have to stay back, or they're at least in Bangkok, and all the Europeans, I feel so sorry for them.
Well, the other thing is they've been here for a couple of weeks, a lot of them for the testing as well, so, and then they've got a two or three week break until Brazil, so I'm sure they want to get home, but it's just a fact of motorsport, isn't it? And these things can happen.
That's right, mate. It has been a huge weekend.
Yes, yes, yeah. Burnt the candle at both ends.
Yes.
You probably see it in our faces and hear it in our croaky voices. But we tried to have as quiet one as we could last night.
Yep,
we did. Be as fresh as a daisy this morning. But yep. I feel pretty good. I mean, reflecting on the weekend, it was so much fun. And
Buriram know how to put on a show. Yeah. It's a great event to come. If anyone's looking to go to Thailand, this is a great, great one to really come to. It's so much fun.
Yeah, the city just, I mean, it just gets better every year we come. And I don't know, they're so happy that we're here, we're spending our money.
Yeah.
Everyone's so, so lovely to speak to as well. So, yeah, it's been an awesome weekend, both at the track and off track as well. bikes were coming past. We strongly recommend this. And if you are going to come here, obviously we've affiliated now with On Track Experiences who do these awesome, awesome packages within this weekend.
Yeah.
And yeah, Connor just knows how to get things and service road access and hospitality. And
the man gets things done.
He does. So if you're interested in any of that, jump on his website and have a look at any race this year.
Yeah, any race this year, he'll be able to definitely accommodate you.
Good thing with him as well, he's going to be at 17 different Grand Prix this year. Yeah. So he'll be here with you if you need help.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. A lot of people come to these Grand Prix, they walk in and go, oh my God, what the fuck do I do now? Where do I go? He has all the information.
Yeah, and we saw it firsthand of everyone, all his clients and stuff that came through this weekend. And it was incredible. So good for them and seeing their joy on their faces when they can go to the service road or meet riders or back of the paddock, whatever it is.
Yep.
It's actually really cool to see. It's refreshing.
Yeah, 100%. And we all want to thank, obviously, Motor Heaven, our partner. Please jump on their website for any motorcycle accessory needs.
Yep.
And then YouTube, Spotify, Apple podcast. Loving all the support, guys. So keep it up.
Yeah, really appreciate it. And Patreon. Thank you to everyone on our Patreon. We really appreciate everything you guys do. Go to patreon.com/motorsportrepublica, Tom.
Beautiful.
Round one, bro. It's, talk about getting our top five picks wrong. We absolutely butchered them. But it was just, you couldn't have scripted, especially the sprint race, you couldn't have scripted a better round one for so many different reasons. Yeah. You know, everyone's thinking going into 2026, it's going to be more the same. But after this round, it's always hard to judge after one round, but after this round, there is a lot of different storylines.
There is. I think Aprilia gone from not an Aprilia track last year to them pretty much dominating the whole Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Obviously, Pedro Acosta was amazing in the sprint race, and we'll talk about that shortly. But yeah, for me, the biggest surprise is how good Aprilia are.
Mm.
And we had a lot of messages over the last week saying, oh, Aprilia are going to dominate. And I'm like, no. Marc Marquez is still going to win the race. But no, Bezzecchi came out from the first corner, James, and took a lead and went and shot off. And Raul Fernandez, Aigura, Jorge Martin. I mean, far out. They had fucking four bikes in the top five. Incredible. So,
yeah, exactly right.
You know, it's going to be a really interesting season. And I think this is just going to be amazing for MotoGP because you've got this, you know, smaller budget team like Aprilia, but absolutely taking it to the big dogs.
Taking it to the big dogs, exactly right. Quickly, just for everyone who missed it, top 10 results of the main Grand Prix. First, obviously, Marco Bezzecchi. Second, Pedro Acosta is now leading the world title, which is first time for KTM. Third, Raul Fernandez, your boy, Tom. Fourth, Jorge Martin, massive surprise. Fifth, Aigura. Sixth, Fabio Di Giantonio. Seventh, Brad Binder, another massive surprise. Eighth, Franco Morbidelli. Ninth, Francesco Bagnaia, unbelievable. Yeah. And 10th, cracking the top 10, Luca Marini. Interesting job. And shout out to Diego Moreira, 13th, one of the rookies, and top rack, 17th.
Yeah, look, Primark were interesting. I think, you know, we spoke to Jack on Friday, and, you know, he looked like he had a really poor result, 8 seconds behind Toprak, but they are trying a lot of different parts, and they've got a completely different chassis to the Yamaha factory boys as well.
Yeah.
So don't read into that too much. And the other thing is, these guys were nursing these bikes home at the end, and when you're finishing, with the experience that he's got, when you're finishing 17th, 18th, it does not matter about taking a risk.
No, that's right.
Because you had Mir, obviously, with tyre issues. His rear tyre went off so much, the bike's electric thought the fucking wheel was off the bike. Mm. It just failed completely. And then Marc Marquez, we spoke about that this morning. It was nothing to do with Michelin tyre, just ran over the curb too hard.
Yeah.
And we saw those curbs. We walked the track on Thursday.
But smashed the rear rim.
Yeah, smashed the rear rim. Yeah. Like, they were fucking serious concrete curbs. I mean, and you're in that on an angle coming in a fourth gear left-hander. I mean, yeah, it was bound to happen at one point.
Yeah, it was definitely bound to happen. And, going back to, we spoke to Jack and Gino Bossoi, and, you know, they're still very optimistic. And, you know, when you're talking about Jack Miller, and, you know, he might be finishing 21st in the championship or 19th, whatever it is, you know, it's not, like, of course they want to be cracking points. But right now, they're, like, especially Jack's, his sole role is almost just to develop that bike.
Yeah.
It is to really develop that bike, trying new things every race. Like, that's what he's doing. It's a little bit of like a Zarco with Honda a few years ago as well, and look how far they've come.
Yep.
So it's very hard to read into it, because he's not just going to crack top tens, you know. Fabio Quartararo, he finished, got it here.
17th,
yep. Was it? He finished 14th. And, you know, like, he was down the back for the sprint race, the main race, and he's on a factory Yamaha. Like, he must be...
Well, Diego Moreira was 7 seconds in front of Quartararo. Yeah. You know, it's... And he had both of Marquez's crash and Mir retire.
Mm.
So, yeah, he's out in the doldrums.
Mm, I know. What do you make of Aprilia?
Dude, it's just so impressive. Like, we spoke to Massimo again on Friday, and, you know, they're so optimistic, but they also want to keep the lid on it. You know, like, that was the big thing. And we're talking to Antonio Pasini, who is...
Pasalli,
who is, like, head of, I don't know, communications, and obviously does a few more other roles in the team. But he's like, just, yeah, we're happy. But, you know, we're not trying to talk world championship yet. For me, it's just so exciting for MotoGP, because, you know, Ducati's just been a domination for the past 5 years. Mm. And they're such a cool, close-knit, you know, Italian factory. And, yeah, it's just exciting. And Bezzecchi is just on the top of his game at the moment, if he can fucking stay on the bike.
Oh, that's it. Exactly right. And, like, I'm so interested to see how far Aprilia can go. And MotoGP needs this for this year. You know, they need multiple manufacturers fighting for race wins, fighting for titles. And we saw that this weekend. KTM obviously won the sprint race, you know, fighting against Ducati with Marc Marquez. And then it was Aprilia and KTM up there in the main race as well. But,
yeah.
You know, just an absolute domination by Aprilia this year. They've really, really worked everything out. They've got all got capable riders now, like Rahul's quick, Aguru's been quick. You know, Jorge Martin, he's a surprise for me as well. He raced a great race, Jorge, and should be proud of his efforts. You know, for not that much time on the bike, to come back now fully fit. You know, I know I've had him at 7th in the World Championship, but if he can generally improve, being on the best, seems like the best motorcycle on the grid, is exciting. And the way the team got around him on top of the pits after the race, loving it. Yeah. They were loving it after the sprint and the main race. So, nothing but positives at the moment for Aprilia.
Yeah, you make a great point about Jorge Martin going so well, and also the other two boys. It just shows you how good this bike is.
Yeah.
I mean, Aguru obviously really impressed last year in fifth place again. But you know, Raul Fernandez was fighting for the lead at one point.
Mm.
So, and you know, obviously he's got loads of talent. I've got him right up there this year. Both are Trackhouse boys, I do. But for them to actually fucking deliver in that early in the season is so impressive.
Well, that's it. It's all about, you know, you can be fast and testing and everything like that, and you know who we're about to speak to with that. But to be able to deliver under pressure in extreme circumstances, in the heat in Thailand, of tire issues, just makes it all the more sweeter, that's for sure.
Well, TNT Sports did an amazing overlay of both the Aprilia and the Ducati doing a lap of the circuit, and you could just see the domination of Aprilia, you know, with a dry edge, drive edge grip, and then out of corners. It was just staggering, the difference. So they've just got it together. It's an agile bike, qualifies well, seems to hold its tyres really well. But yeah, again, Raul Fernandez, he was hurt. He was hurt in warm-up. He goes, I'm fucking hurting. And obviously he did drop back in the end, but, you know, still finished the podium. So
what's your take on Ducati's performance over the weekend?
Dude, it's a bit confusing because Marc Marquez running a 24 spec aero setup, was a real surprise to me. He's saying in the media that it puts less stress on his body. So obviously there's no, you know, and then Bagnaia just, just did nothing. Like,
yeah, it's struggling.
It's just struggling.
So factory Ducati, or what Ducati's issue is early on in the race, they actually have too much grip and it's making the bike way too aggressive. And you can't ride it smoothly. And that's the issue that they're having. So it's too much grip. Alex Marquez can't get all the power down. That was his big thing in the bike last year. That was his weapon, is he could lay all that power down and make it usable. Now, what I noticed in the main race yesterday is Mark was coming. The race was coming to him. Now, he wasn't winning that race. No. And he probably wasn't even going to get seconds. But I strongly think that he would have taken Raul right at the end, or been very close. So it's not all over for Ducati, clearly. They're a very good team. Don't write them off. They're not the best bike on the paddock. Pecco Bagnaia admitted that. Yeah. But you got to remember, Mark was up there still in the sprint. There is still obviously a lot of time for them to turn it around, especially with Marc Marquez on board. You know, it's a great start of the season for us, and it's great for the championship to see that because it's a big point swing. But they're gonna get their shit together. And I know Mark as well has still got that shoulder injury. So
yeah, he's still nursing something. And yeah. I think we all think Coda's going to be the big one. You know, if Aprilia come out and dominate Coda and beat Marquez fair, like, that's just put the writing on the wall. You know, we know how strong he is there.
Yeah, he's so strong there. So it's a funny old one, but, you know, it's only round one. You can't get too carried away. And Aprilia is not going to get too carried away either.
No, they're not. And the thing is, like, yeah, again, it's an unusual circuit. It was the hottest part of the weekend for that race.
Yeah.
Like 60 degree track temperatures they were talking, which is mind-boggling. So some teams can get around that, some teams can't. You can't read into it too much. Honda, for me, disappointing. I think Mir was up there, obviously. He started really well and then had that tyre issue. But did you think they were going to show more over the weekend?
It's a tricky one. They were up in six and eight for a bit. Look, that's still a pass for me. For where they are, it's still a pass.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've still got them like 10th and 11th in the championship. You know, if there's such bad tyre issues and he can't, as you said, the electronics are playing up because of the rear tyre, then, you know, it is what it is. But I still think it's a pass. Obviously, you want points. Luca Marini's in 10th, fair and square 10th. It's still a pass.
Yeah, Zarco was probably a little bit better than what I thought earlier in the weekend.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Vinales.
Right, so let's start with this. Who did we meet on the weekend?
Jorge Lorenzo, Cheesy, Mick Cheesyberg.
What was the first thing he said to us?
He goes, cheeseburger. Why are you talking? Why are you saying I'm cheeseburger? Why are you saying call me cheeseburger?
What did I do?
You fucking froze. And I said, well, like, we call you, if you're the cheeseburger, I'm the Big Mac, and sort of broke the ice. But he, dude, that was pretty eye-opening for us that he, I don't think he knew who we were, but yeah,
he's
been following us and thought it was pretty funny. So yeah, that just adds to the drama of the cheesy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
The mystique, I should say, not the drama, the mystique.
The mystique, the man is that. And,
And what a legend, by the way. Like,
such a nice guy.
Lovely to talk to, and we had a good conversation with him, and, you know, we were half trying to wrap him up, so which was pretty crazy.
It's funny, sometimes you talk to people and, you know, they'll give you one word answers or try and wrap you up. But he was genuinely asking us questions and really being, as crazy as it sounds, humble about everything as well.
Yeah.
I said to him as well, I'm like, mate, I love the Rocky montages. Keep going with the Rocky montages of you and Mav. I'm all about it. But we spoke about Maverick Vinales as well. Says, you know, bit negative, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And, mate, what a surprise of Maverick Vinales and his results over the weekend.
Do you remember what Mav was doing in the test in Broome?
Nah, he was quick in Sepang.
He was quick in Sepang, but...
I don't remember. I don't remember Broome. It's hard. It's so hard to read into.
I mean, I actually had a bit of a deja vu moment because I was sitting in the same spot 12 months ago.
Yeah.
And he was doing the exact same thing, shaking his head, going up the front straight. He made a couple of mistakes in the race and put him back behind Top Rack, which, you know, is not, you know, it's terrible. But he did come back at the end and put in some solid lap times the last sort of 5-6 laps.
Finished 3 seconds ahead Top Rack.
Yeah, yeah, which he was about, I think he was about probably 7 or 8 seconds behind him at one point.
Yeah,
so, I'm not going to say there's any pace there, but, you know, fuck, it wasn't, it was a couple of mistakes in the race that he made. So.
Worst way to start a season for him, unfortunately.
But he started exactly the same last year.
I know.
And look, he looked good as Qatar came around. If we get a Qatar Grand Prix.
Oh, true.
That's the big story point and going to happen in the next couple of weeks because the Qatar airport doesn't open until the 28th of March, we're hearing.
Yeah.
And the race is on 2 weeks after that.
Right.
So are they going to be able to get all the bikes, everything there before that? That's going to be the big call.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
So that's a story to play out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be watching that. Maverick Vinales, I really do hope he turns it around, and I think he will. We spoke to Gunter Stein. If you haven't seen that interview, sorry, our mic stuffed up. It's a pain in the ass. We might be able to redo some of it through a program that our mate Joe Achilles sent us, but we don't know yet. Anyway, he was a very, very good chat. If you haven't listened to that, you can listen to it on our Spotify or Apple, or it's on YouTube.
Maybe watch it on YouTube, so it's it's not as bad to listen to.
yeah. But he was really good, and
he's a fantastic guy.
Guy, and I said to him, you know, you're gonna come down and rule this joint for 9 fists, and he's like, no, like I want to see how everything works. Ask questions why they're doing things like that.
Yep.
And we even spoke to someone at Tech 3 personnel over the weekend, and we asked, you know, what's it like him being in the team? They love it.
They love him.
They think, you know, he kind of leads from the front, very, very good to work with. Because I even said, I was like, to work for him, it almost feels like it could go either way. It would be too much or just perfect to work for. And obviously, it seems like the latter.
Yeah, I think it's still very early in the season. I think if they finish 13th and fucking 17th every race, he might be a bit cranky. But
yeah.
And we said to this, it's the perfect time to invest, I think, in a MotoGP team.
Mm.
And I think... almost Hervé Poncel sold it too soon, unless he got a very good price for it, because it's going to boom in the next couple of years. We know that. With obviously the new Adelaide Street Circuit coming in and new regulations and all the other things that we'll be talking about. So, yeah, it's a great time for him to invest in the team.
Yeah.
He sort of indicated that they're trying to do a deal with KTM for next year, but they still don't know yet. Mm. We also talked to Massimo about a trade period.
Massimo Rivola.
About a trade period for MotoGP, because it just seems to be all over the shop at the moment. People signing, not getting it released, because you have to have plans set up for next year. You're going to have new bikes on the grid.
Mm.
He doesn't even know what bike he's running yet. He doesn't know which riders he's going to have yet, you know? So you need a clear path for next year.
This is a real issue at the moment because, you know, this could be Aprilia's one and only shot.
Yeah.
Of winning a world title. They got the best bike, and then bang, they're going into new regulations. Kind of like McLaren and Formula One, you know? So it's such an interesting year to play out, and then going into next year, things are going to change dramatically.
They are. Yeah, they are. And you're right. I was actually thinking about that all weekend. I'm like, fuck, they finally nailed this bike, and they're going to have a change next year. But this is a thing, and this is what I don't know yet, and I'm sure you don't, how big the change is going to be. Like, obviously, MotoGP is different to Formula 1, but Formula 1's come out with these new regulations. The top four teams are still the top four teams. So, reducing an engine by 150cc, removing some ride height, is the best team still going to be the best?
Tyres, bro.
And tyres as well. Who's going to nail the tyres?
Yeah.
But yeah.
You got to work, you know, there's a lot of teams work bikes around how they feel with tyres, because that's the only point of contact.
But we all think that Honda is going to be good. But they could make some sort of mistake in that, you know, building that bike. You know, we just don't know until Valencia.
Well, what about if Pedro Acosta just keeps going on these winning streaks on KTM, and he's apparently re-signed for factory Lenovo Ducati?
Yeah, well, that's the word on the street. So Acosta Ducati, we called that months ago with obviously Jack, and then Aprilia signing Bagnaia.
4-year deal, Bagnaia apparently on the cards.
Yeah,
are you taking that deal if you're Aprilia?
Dude, I don't know. I know Jorge Martin's burnt them, and I understand all that. But, geez, I'm back on him again, James.
I'm back on him again.
Mate, you're in a love-hate relationship.
Jesus, I just thought about that. I'm back on fucking Martin again because I don't know. They were getting around him. You know, they were getting around him at the end of that race last yesterday afternoon. So, I don't know, man. I think I'd probably rather. Okay, you'd rather Bagnaia as a marketing point of view. Because,
ooh, really marketing.
Yeah, because you're going to have a guy that's stable, doesn't say anything controversial, doesn't fucking try to cut the contract halfway through the 1 year deal, 2 year deal. You're going to have that side of things. Yes, he's talented. He's a world champion. Jorge Martin is just fucking too up and down, man.
Do you know what's another good thing about Pecco Bagnaia? Great for team environment with Marco Bezzecchi.
Correct.
They can work in harmony together.
Yeah.
Both
yep.
Italian.
Yep.
It's a good fit. I want to see it.
Yeah.
I want to see Pedro Acosta on a factory Ducati with Marc Marquez. Now, there's a lot of sorry for the background scooter noise, but there's a lot of talk that Marc Marquez is going to sign a 2 year deal for factory Ducati. That looks like that's going to be out and happening. So, you know, him and Pedro Acosta together, and after what we saw in the sprint race, I love it. And for the psych of Pedro to beat Mark, and look, even he said, he didn't say it was tainted, but he said, you know, did I beat him? Because he's like, I'll wait and see for the next race, meaning the Grand Prix, you know, because he got let through right at the end. I personally thought it was a harsh decision. I think the paddock is split, to be honest. We spoke to people, some people said very harsh decision, other people said completely fair.
Well, the thing is, Tarozzi came out and said they didn't make contact, but then Acosta came out and said they did.
Mark came out and said he did as well.
Yeah, so everyone's taking Tarozzi's word, but no, there was contact there. And as I said on the short little pod we did yesterday, as long as it's consistent, as long as if this is going to be what MotoGP is going for in the future, then as long as it's consistent and they make the consistent call. Because Digia got knocked the fuck out from Alex Marquez in the sprint race and no penalty, nothing.
I know.
No drop of position, no grid penalty for the main race, absolutely nothing. And it wrecked both their races. Yep. I mean, and yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Again, I said yesterday, you know, Acosta was nothing but, you know, fair moves through the whole race. And then the only one time that Mark had a chance, arguably it wasn't a fair move.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I said to you straight away, I said, let's drop one position.
You did.
I said, let's drop one position. It will be because, you know, he came out and did that one move and it was wrong. So, and I think that's where probably MotoGP is at the moment.
Yeah, it is. It really is at the moment. It just shows the aggression of Marc Marquez that he just will try and win at all costs.
Yeah.
To take second, obviously, is fine as well. But, you know, I'd love to know what Mark's thinking right now. You know, seconds in a sprint race after just dominating last year and then having that very unlucky rear rim issue. And then going into a brand new circuit in Brazil. Like, this is, this championship, I hope, is just heating up to be, you know, a three-way battle or whatever it is for the title.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a couple of determining factors with Marquez. I think they still haven't nailed what this bike is going to be. Like, this aero issue with both Bagnaia and obviously Mark running two different aero packages is alarming for me. But he had a stomach issue, probably not fully fit, still has an issue with his arm. The bike's not the fastest anymore. He's got a lot of things that are, you know, against him at the moment. But that's what makes this year so exciting, because Bezzecchi is on a better bike, but Marc Marquez is a better rider.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect storm.
It is.
You know, so that's what's so exciting. If Marc Marquez was on Aprilia right now, he might as well fucking pack his shit and just give him the title.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
As Matt Burt says, ride him off at your own peril.
Yeah.
And then you've got the wild card in there and Pedro Acosta. And he looks happy with that KTM at the moment. Riding really well. There was talks to the paddock that KTM might not be able to ride out the race properly with like a race fuel strategy, but he looked good. Even Brad Binder being ninth or seventh in the race, you know, great result for them as well. So some seriously good positive signs for KTM, and that's what we want to see. We want to see more manufacturers up there. We don't just want to see Ducati dominating. I don't just want to see Aprilia dominating either. You know, I want to see multiple manufacturers going for race wins, going for the championship, best riders against best riders.
Tom, motorheaven.com.au. I want to know your 10 favorite things about Motor Heaven.
Oh, Jimmy, that's just too easy, mate. I'm on their website now. They have the largest range of motorcycle products online in Australia. The user experience just shits over anything else on the net. You get a free visor cleaner with any helmet purchase over $200. Moto Heaven Next Tube with any jacket purchase over $200.
God damn.
Forget that Qantas points garbage. It's all about the loyalty program at Moto Heaven. Motorcycle Part Finder, local customer support, quick dispatch as we know, James. Yeah. Unreal Google reviews, 100,000 customers they've had over the years. Proudly Aussie owned and operated by the world famous Adrian Letty. Get down to Moto Heaven. And or go on their website, motorheaven.com.au.
Motorheaven.com.au. OGs of the pod. We love them. Check out motorheaven.com.au now.
Well, let's think about this for a second. When has Marc Marquez won his world title on an inferior bike?
2018, 2019.
Yeah, against the Ducatis.
Yeah, 2018.
So if he comes out and wins a world title this year, it's another one to his bow that he is the best rider we've ever seen.
True, but what can also happen, and I think this is what Aprilia did last year, Ducati started off as the best bike last year, and then three quarters of the way through, we were saying Aprilia was the best bike. And that's something Ducati can do this year.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing is everyone we've spoken to, all the team principals and everyone, like Massimo Rivola or Gino Bassoy or whoever it is, you know, there's a point through this year where they have to stop developing this 1,000cc bike and put all their cards into the 850cc.
Yeah.
If you're Ducati and you're only 15 points behind the teams or riders world championship, are you really going to stop developing?
No, that's the tricky.
This is a tricky situation we're in for this year.
And the Aprilia is going, well, this could be a one or only shot. We've got to throw the whole fucking kitchen sink at it as well. So, yeah, I'm really impressed with Trackhouse, man. I'm really, really impressed.
They're your team.
I mean, they get given the bike, but they've still got to put it on the track. They've still got to qualify well. Both those young guys are performing so, so well.
No, that's exactly right. And they're ran by Davide Brivio, who is so proven, one of the best people in the paddock to be running your team. They are doing excellent. And all credit to Rael Fernandez, how he's turned his career around and had two podiums for this weekend. One in Phillip Island and had an amazing end of the year last year. And then picked up where he left off after that off-season. Incredible. And the same to say for Aguirre, after having a great start last year, battling through injuries, to then be consistent again this weekend for Trackhouse and for Aprilia. Like, we love to see it. Absolutely love to see it. And I love seeing new colours up there, new teams up there, you know, battling for the win.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were sitting here 2 years ago. Well, not here, but at home. And we talked about Rael Fernandez signing a 2-year deal. And we're like, how the fuck have they done that?
I know.
And I remember us saying, they must see something in this kid. Yeah. There must be something in the data. There must be something that he does in a test or on a bike that just gets him, wow, this kid could be good. And they fucking stuck with him.
Yeah.
And he's proven himself.
Yeah.
You know, like, unbelievable what he did late last year. It's still a tide. The tide doesn't turn. He's fucking still going so, so well. So, you know, is he a championship contender this year? Like, that's the other thing. Massive, you know? Like, I know how crazy that sounds, but if he's consistently up there with the best bike on the grid, Bezzecchi has a couple of crashes, anything can happen. If Bezzecchi gets injured, anything can happen, you know?
Well, look, if anyone's prone to probably crashing out of a race, it's Marco Bezzecchi.
Yeah.
But I think, I really do think, he's going to be a hard man to beat this year for the title. But, you know, this is the issue. Like, when it comes to one-on-one battles, he normally cracks.
Yep.
And, you know, in fairness to the main Grand Prix, he went out and just tried to gap him. And at the start of the race, I really thought, you know, Mark was kind of second, third, and I thought, he's saving tyres.
Wow.
He's saving tyres. He's going to let Bezzecchi or someone burn them, but it was just that was not the case whatsoever.
No.
And there was tyre issues anyway.
Yeah, I still don't know. I actually don't know with Raul if it was his injury that was slowing him or it was the tyres.
Both.
But yeah, I mean, Bezzecchi was just solid, man. Yeah. So solid. Yeah, he slowed down a little bit at the end, but yeah, he was out in front. You said, I reckon he's going to cook his tyres. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
But for me, it was, outstanding performance.
Talking about tyres,
Tom,
my Nuffy of the week, one of our new segments for this year, is Michelin.
Okay.
The reason for that is, yes, Juan Mir had to retire because of the rear tyre. Obviously, Marquez broke the rim, everything like that. But every rider just about across the board complained about tyres. And look, you don't want anyone retiring. That's the first sign that I hate. But what it does is no one could push to the absolute limit in the main Grand Prix, it actually technically wasn't that exciting. It was for a few different reasons, but it wasn't like there was heaps of passing. Mm. Everyone had like a second in between them because they just couldn't push. They were all just trying to manage and manage and manage just to finish the race. And I know it was extreme conditions, but I'm sick of talking about tyres. I'm sick of talking about tyre wear or tyre pressures. Like, it's, I love how it's a part of the sport, but I just don't want to see negative, negative, negative all the time on tyres. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, there's a fine line because you've got riders out there who are very good on their tyres. Bastianini obviously comes in as an example. But yeah, the problem is it just went too far this round. I like if a rider can hold, like, what makes it exciting, if one rider is sitting back and, you know, and controlling his pace and keeping tyre life for the end, that's awesome. You know,
Mark Marquez is cream.
Cream. That's amazing to see, but it was just too extreme this weekend.
Way too.
I don't know what they can do differently because it's probably the one race that, well, this and Sepang would be, maybe Qatar as well. You know, do they run fucking hard tyres as a mandatory option? Like, but then you just, everyone will just come off. So it's such a fine line between what you do.
Yeah.
But what do they do? They're not going to give. That's fucking, they've got 21 races left in their contract. That's it. They're not going to start developing new stuff now.
Nah, that's exactly right. I'm just sick of talking about
it. We might have same problems with Pirelli next year. You don't know.
Yeah. Well, look.
You don't know.
I have a lot more faith in them. I really do.
Okay.
They've just been doing it for a long time, World Superbikes in different categories. I think they're going to be okay. And you understand, even for Michelin, you know, people jumping off Michelins back when there was tyre wars. Michelin's had a lot of issues over the time as well. So it's not just been these last 5 years. But for me, that's enough for the week. I don't want tyres determining races for individuals or as a spectacle. What is your enough for your week?
Well, we already sort of talked about it, but yeah, Maverick Vinales.
I like it.
Obvious choice. Yeah, just put your head down. Just put your head down.
He hasn't come out and said anything to the media,
know,
at least.
I know, but just, I hate the fucking, like, the animation of shaking the head and fucking cracking it and blah, 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 being negative, whatever. Just put your head down. You've obviously got, you're on a fast motorcycle. Pedro Acosta wins a sprint. Brad Binder, for fuck's sake, finished in the top 10.
Yeah.
So there's some pace in that bike. Now, take nothing away from Brad. I mean, a very talented rider, but hasn't shown much in the last year. So
more than that.
Couple. For me, it's just get your head down. Fucking, you've got the ability to finish in the top 10. We've just jumped on your back again for this year.
Yep.
We really, really, really want this guy to succeed. He's going to be the main guy going forward for KTM, yep, by the sounds of things. So
yep,
he's just got to put his head down, qualify well, and, you know, finish top six, top seven, you know, and then he'll have an unbelievable year.
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous on my, nervous on my top 10 pick.
Well, bro, you got four fast. I mean, that's the thing. And four fast Aprilias and arguably five capable Ducatis.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to crack a fucking top six this year.
Bro, I know. Firmin Aldeguer when he comes back. Yeah. Alex Marquez was a disappointment for me this weekend, though. Didn't show much. I know Ducati's not there, but, you know, where did he end up finishing? Alex Marquez.
Crashed.
Crashed, he did, didn't
crashed
he?
In front of us, yeah.
Yeah, so he had a bit of a rough one in the sprint, so... Look, it's really interesting to see how all these riders bounce back. I really think, as a prediction, though, it's going to be an up and down year.
Yeah, I think, just being consistent is going to be, that's the magic potion, I think, for 2026. Consistency, consistency, consistency. And that's Bezzecchi had an inconsistent weekend. Yeah, he dominated the main race, but you can't be falling in the sprint. Every point is going to be so, so important.
Mm.
And falling twice in practice and qualifying as well, like, just stay on the bike, you have to.
Yeah.
You know, practice one, you can have a little low side in the last corner just to see what the limit is, but stay on the bike.
Diego Moreira for you.
Impressive, yeah.
Yeah, 13th.
Yeah, yeah, super impressive.
I think he had a great, great weekend.
Yep.
Obviously, there's not much pressure on him as a rookie, but 13th on the Honda, very impressive for what he did. I loved how he was riding behind Marquez for a lot of practice as well, just getting in lap after lap after lap.
Yeah.
I think he is going to be a star. It just shows, though, when those rookies that come in, like Jorge Lorenzo, Danny Pedrosa's, Marc Marquez, Valentino Rossi, those aliens, that are quick from the start and podiuming in like their first race.
Yeah.
This is so special.
Well, look at Aguirre last year, man. Yeah. Like, if Diego Moreira finished fifth yesterday,
it would have blown out.
You would have fucking, it would have been the most amazing thing we've ever seen. That's what Aguirre did last year.
Yeah.
He finished fifth in his first race. You know, that it shows you how talented this kid is, you know? So I'm like, you know, I'm on the bandwagon. I'm on the tracky. I'm on the tracky bandwagon.
I know you are, definitely are. But it was great to see Diego Moreira. It's awesome. Yep. We're going into Brazil next three weeks for the second round. His home race.
It's like 4 weeks away or something crazy. 23rd of March. I know, superstar.
I know, and it's going to be so exciting to see. And he's just only going to get better and better and better. You can see Lucio Ceccanello's face during the Grand Prix. He's like, oh, thank fuck, yeah, I've got these capable riders in my team.
No more token Asian in that bike. And yeah, he's got two really good, the top of the tier development rider in Zarco.
Yeah.
And then the new rookie sensation. I mean, how exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting for Honda as well.
Yeah, very exciting for Honda. Honda
He finished 7 seconds in front of Quararo.
I know
the Yamaha is like a fucking 250cc bike at the moment, but just to achieve that in those conditions, in that heat, with everything going on, amazing.
You said about Quararo, it is going to be a long year, and my friend, it is going to be a long year for Fabio. I'm sure he's going to be penciling in that Honda deal very soon.
He should just sign it, and they need to release it, because they just probably take a little bit of pressure off him, and he can just enjoy the year.
Yeah, well, exactly right.
Try to enjoy it as much as possible.
It sounds like there's also rumours that Luca Marini is getting linked to Yamaha as well, which is an interesting move. We spoke to Luca over the weekend, did an interview with him, which is out on YouTube and everything now. Really, really good fella. We kind of spoke to him about talking about contracts, and he was obviously very cagey about it all. But
well, his whole mood changed when we asked that.
It did.
And he went quiet. And
yeah, you can kind of tell.
There was something, I think he knows that he's not going to be on that Honda next year.
Yeah.
Which is so disappointing for him, because they're finally light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm.
But Mir has finished in front of him consistently now if he stays on the bike. So, and obviously a world champion. I mean,
look, they might even clean house of both of them.
Oh, yeah. By the sounds of things, Mir is staying on. And then obviously you're going to have Quartararo on that bike, which I think is a really, really, really good team as well.
Super exciting
for that.
Tom, performance of the week.
I have to stick with Raul Fernandez for me, man. Yep. He had an awesome, awesome weekend. I think he's going to do some great, great, great things this year. And yeah, again, he was sore, had issues with the tyres, but still finished on the podium. Amazing effort.
For both races as well.
Yeah, and for you?
Staying on the Aprilia bandwagon. It has to just be Aprilia in general, both factory and with Trackhouse. You know, we knew that it was going to be quick, but to be, factory and Trackhouse both on the podium, both consistently fast, of all four of their riders, by far has to be the performance of the week. Couldn't have scripted a better start for that team. Obviously, the one glitch of Marco crashing out of the lead in a sprint race. But other than that, it's sensational from Aprilia and super exciting for how far they can go in 2026, because they look like they are, destined to do something big.
Yes. Special mention as well. I was right on the fence. Pedro Acosta in that sprint race, bro. Like, how amazing what he's doing on that bike.
So, yeah.
How exciting he's going to be on the Ducati next year.
Yeah.
Whatever Ducati throw at next year's bike as well, that's going to be the other interesting factor.
Mate, very correct. All right, should we get into some hot takes?
Let's do it, bro. All right, hot takes, Jimmy boy.
T-Shavs at heaps on Bez and Mark fighting for the title in Phillip Island. Imagine it. What a send-off that would be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. It seems like a lifetime away, though. We were talking to the boys in the media center yesterday, and they're like, what race are you going to this year? We're like, oh, Phillip Island. He's like, fuck, that feels like a lifetime away.
Yeah, it does. It really is.
It is, yeah.
It really is. At D Silver 87S, that call against Marc Marquez was soft. Toughen up, Liberty.
Liberty?
It's not Liberty.
Jeez.
It ain't Liberty.
It's Simon Crafer made that decision.
At Matty Stevens, Michelin having PTSD flashbacks to Indianapolis 05.
Yes.
At Nicholas.Pardo, Bagnaia doesn't win any race this season, Tom.
Wow. No, he'll come out. I reckon he'll have a similar year to last year, where he'll just come out and dominate a weekend. But he won't finish up the back like he was in a couple of those races.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. At Snakepaw_Marco, 2026 champ. Man's already called it.
Wow.
After one race. At Sean Cody, this Aprilia may be better than the Ducati 24 bike.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, every single one who rode that bike this weekend had a fucking awesome, awesome race. So yep. That just shows you everything.
At J9White99, not a hot take, but why does wild stuff always happen to Mark Marquez?
I know. Trouble seems to follow him, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. I think sometimes he creates trouble.
He does. I think, for me, he's, yes, he's unlucky, but he's also fucking lucky, man. That's, as I said, it's a fourth or fifth gear left-hander. And obviously, he hit that curb pretty hard, but that could have flown him off something terrible.
It could have been a career ending.
And then his brother crashed a lap later in the same spot. Yeah. It's wild, isn't it?
Wild. Fucking wild. At NWL Raven, Thailand is the best Asian race with a boring track.
Oh, a boring track. I really like the track.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I really like this circuit. We walked it on Thursday. It is, you know, it's underwhelming when you walk it, but it's underwhelming because there hasn't been big incidents there over the years.
Yeah.
So Pang for us was incredible because obviously you got, you know, Marco Simoncelli, you have the kick and the last second to last corner. So there's that is the mystique of the place.
And
so.
They've been going for so many years
correct,
well.
Yeah.
You know, it's got so much history. At frosty.heat.tadotsi, the angriest man on the planet Earth on Sunday.
Tense, yeah, intense.
At Zanio_B, God, I don't stop these guys. Top Rack could be a serious contender next year. I don't stop.
Have we got Turkish fans yet, Jay?
Yeah, we got Turkish fans. We've got fans in everywhere, don't worry. At Meeps Back, do you think Mark will retire at the end of 2026 if he doesn't win the championship?
Well, I was actually going to ask you about that before. If he signs a 2-year deal for Ducati, is that him? Is that it for him?
Oh, look, I don't know.
He'll be 37?
Depends if he's winning titles.
Yeah.
To me, if he loses a title fair and square, he'll call it.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But if he's still winning, and who knows, you can't read into that guy. He's too good in the media.
He is.
Number one ticket holder, Willie_Nels. Pramac Yamaha found something this weekend, albeit on three wheels. The tuk-tuk.
Fuck Willie. How does he come up with this stuff? That tuk-tuk race was so fucking funny. We were sitting in the media center, and everyone was going wild and
crazy.
And when you're in the media center, if you drop a fucking pin, you'll be able to hear it. It's a bit of a somber place, but it was just wild scenes. People pissing themselves laughing. That's why Jack Miller, bro, he's just so funny for this sport. He is different, and that's why they love these different nationalities in there. Because if there was 22 Spanish people just going around, they were in the boringest race ever. You know,
it was in Crocs with Top Rack.
Yeah,
and then they had it on two wheels. They were so close to rolling that thing, and then they were both out of the race, and could have really fucking hurt themselves. It was insane to watch. I was cringing watching it. If you haven't seen it, find it on YouTube, whatever it is. It is hilarious. They got on two wheels. They're doing wheelies on it.
Yep. Mate, that beats any you know, sitting on a bus and waving to the crowd.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Nah, exactly right. At Caleb Russell and VR46 Fraud Watch, and why was Pecco wearing an S10 helmet in practice? VR46 on Fraud Watch. I'm not... Didier was very unlucky, but quick through the weekend. Franco was disappointing. And Pecco and a lot of other people were wearing different helmets because... sorry, there's a fucking helicopter going over us right now. Pecco and a whole lot of different riders were wearing different helmets because their brands, like KYT, they're not homologated for these races, for MotoGP. So there's a new FIM2 homologation.
Yep.
And KYT weren't wearing...
And Shawami.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which is basically the same helmet.
Yep.
Where other helmets like Alpine Stars or Arai or Shoei all are homologated through that FIM2. So... but yeah, you don't see that often either, which is crazy. Our boy Chris_Seps, the racing was fantastic this weekend. I think Pedro is ready for a big season.
Yes, he is. Very impressive.
At Alexander274633, the trust in Raul is paying off, Tom.
Oh, yes, it is. Thank you, everyone, for the messages.
Which is... awesome. Jack Giles, if there wasn't a case for why we need Moto2/3 warm up back, I don't know what is because of all the crashes.
Well, it's true. I mean, there was a lot of crashes last year. There was the smallest finish in Moto3 history last year in Thailand.
Yeah.
There's a lot of young kids on the bike for the first time as well.
Yeah.
There was a lot of complaints where people were saying, why are you having a tuk-tuk race when you could have 2 5-minute warm up sessions for Moto2 and Moto3, which was kind of funny. But what we noticed here, we were at breakfast, hungover as fuck, at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and everyone's still here. Everyone's just chilling.
All Moto 2, Moto 3 teams.
They're like, oh, this is perfect for us. All we have to do is rock up, send the start the bikes and send it out. I'm sure there's more to that, to the story. But if they had to be there at fucking 8 o'clock for a warm-up session, it is such a longer weekend for them. So these are the things you don't notice when you're at home.
Yeah.
So the teams, not as in the teams for safety-wise, would want to warm up, but these mechanics, they're fucking stoked.
Yeah, that's very true. They're going to sleep in. At HD.Ava, so good to see Guevara back at his best. Can we consider him a real title contender? Possibly.
Yeah.
For Moto 2, we just don't know. It was a shame about St. Agius as well, but it was great to see. I've said that to you when we're watching it, to see Guevara back. Now, we will go back to our normal pod of talking Moto 3, Moto 2 when we're back in the studio. But
just extreme circumstances.
Yes. 2:30 a.m. nights doesn't help. watching Moto 2 and Guevara, awesome to see. Awesome to see him back up there, looking quick. Slow start to Moto 2 career, but that just shows you what Moto 2 is like.
And bro, Manu Gonzalez was a fucking jet yesterday. Yeah. Like what he did, he came from 7th on the grid and won the race. Fucking awesome effort.
Yeah. Matt _ Kaz, don't ever go to Burien without me again.
Sorry, Kaz.
last one, Bay Bikes. Tommy, when is Cheeseburger on the pod?
Okay, so we have exchanged phone numbers with Cheesy, and he will be on as soon as we can organize that. So hopefully over the next month, I'm going to say.
Hope so.
I'm going to try in the next week, to be honest, because we've got a couple of weeks until the next race, and that would be an amazing pod. So,
there is so many questions we can ask him, and I want him to talk about himself for 2.5 hours.
And I'm sure he won't have any problem with that at all. Yeah. You know, through his career, Rossi days, where he is now, and everything in between would be incredible.
Yeah, exactly right. Tom, shabby luck. Thank you so much.
Thanks for a great weekend,
mate.
It
was a great weekend. Yeah. Thanks for all the listeners. Thanks everyone commenting on all our social stuff. It was really fun to do some stuff on the back of the paddock as well. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Comment on our YouTube and stuff if you did enjoy it. Anything you want us to change.
Yes.
We love Thailand. It's our spiritual home for Motorsport Republica, I think. We are so excited for 2026. It's going to be a fantastic season. If you're not watching it, watch it. Watch all the practices because I don't think any of us are going to predict what's going to happen. This is exactly what the sport needs.
Yep. I'm really excited as well. We're going to the content's going to be unreal this year. And when the racing's amazing, everything else just follows suit.
Correct.
So thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week back in the studio next Monday night. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.